It's good as always to be here with everyone at Emmanuel Church.
每次来到以马内利教会都非常的高兴。
I feel as if I'm a part-time member already.
我觉得我已经是成为你们的这个临时成员了。
I thank you for allowing me to share my series of messages on the Ten Commandments this past year.
感谢大家给我机会在过去的这半年与大家分享这个我有关十诫的系列讲道。Because
today we are already at the eighth commandment.
我们今天呢已经要讲到第八诫了。We
only have two more to go, number 9 and number 10.
那我们接下来只还有两堂了，就是九诫和十诫。
Once again, we come to a very short commandment. It's only four words in English.
那再一次呢，这个诫命又是一个非常短的诫命，用英文呢是四个字，中文也是四个字。And
it's only four words in Chinese.
对，中文也是四个字。And
the original language is it's only two words.
那要是原文的话，只有两个字。
So I had to add a couple of extra scriptures just to make it feel like a scripture reading.
所以我就要多加几段经文，这样的话读的时候，让我们觉得是在读经。So
with today's commandment, we will explore the issue of believers and their wealth and possessions.
那我们今天这一堂信息呢，就是要看一下，就是作为信徒，我们对我们的所有的财产。
So because the eighth commandment is so short, we have to go a little bit beyond that to get a full understanding of the principle behind the prohibition.
那因为这条诫命非常的短，所以我们更要了解一下这个背景的信息，这样我们才能够更加全面的来了解这个诫命所要讲的是什么。
There are Bible commentators that say behind every prohibition is a principle.
那就是有圣经学者说，就是在每一个诫命的背后呢，其实都是有原则的。Most
of the commandments are prohibitions. Do not do this or do not do that.
因为很多这个诫命呢，都是说不要干这个或者不要干那个，都是代表一个有一个命令的。
But behind these prohibitions, it seems that God is trying to point us to something else greater, some principle.
然而其实在每一条诫命的背后呢，神要指示我们一个更重要的原则要让我们去理解。So
behind the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, is the principle of the sacredness of life.
那就像第六条诫命，不可杀人，它背后想要表达的意思就是说生命的珍贵。
And behind the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, is the principle of the sacredness of marriage.
那在不可奸淫第七诫背后，其实是表示了对婚姻的圣洁。So
in today's message, I'd like to share three principles from this prohibition.
那今天的这个诫命背后呢，我想跟大家分享三个原则。Let
us open in prayer.
那我们用祷告来开始。
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for bringing us here together to worship and to learn from your word.
亲爱的天父，我们感谢你，今天让我们聚在一起，能够来向你学习，也来敬拜你。We
pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us and teach us what is the Christian attitude to wealth and possessions.
我们请圣灵亲自向我们讲话，让我们能够明白作为基督徒。 财富对我们来说意味着什么？And
we say a special prayer for Pastor Albert for his speedy recovery to rejoin us in person from his illness.
我们特别的为李牧师祷告，希望他能够尽快的康复，早日与我们一起敬拜。We
pray in Jesus' name.
我们奉主耶稣基督的名求。Amen.
I'd like to begin by reviewing this chart of the commandments that I've been sharing in this series.
那首先呢，我想跟大家一起来看一下这个十诫的这个表格，来复习一下十诫。
And I do this to remind us that we are getting close to the end of the 10 words.
那我们在看的时候呢，我想提醒大家，我们已经快到了十诫的最后了。
Now each of these 10 so-called words are important, but it's clear that they are listed in the order of importance.
那当然这十诫都非常重要，然而呢，他们还是有它的这个重要的层次性的。
So the first of commandment, of course, is the most important of the 10.
那当然了，第一条诫命是十诫中最重要的。
I don't like to say number 8, 9, and 10 are unimportant, but it's clear that they are less important than 1 through 7.
当然我不是想说八九十这三条诫命 不重要，而是说相比的话，第一条诫命比他们更重要。
Certainly in any evaluation of importance, thou shalt not kill is much more important than thou shalt not steal.
那同样的，不可杀人要比不可偷窃就更重要。
So there is a little bit of a less importance of the eighth commandment compared to the previous seven, number seven, number six, and so on.
所以就说第八条诫命呢，就比第七条诫命是，就是第七条会比第八条更重要一些，那第八比第九更重要，这个大概的顺序就应该是这样的。
And I mentioned this because the first principle is quite clear if you study the Old Testament law.
因为这个顺序很重要，就是说当你来学习旧约的律法的时候。
And that is this principle, persons are more important than property.
那就是首先有一个重要的原则呢，就是说人比财产更重要。
So this is the first principle from this prohibition, looking at it in terms of Old Testament law.
所以这就是在我们学这个旧约中律法的时候，我们学不可偷窃的时候来学到的第一个重要原则。
You may be surprised to learn that there are some local laws in the United States that seem to imply that property is more important than persons.
那就是如果你可能会觉得惊奇，当你学习美国的一些这个地方法律法的时候呢，你会发现可能有的地方它对那个财产的重视程度甚至超过了对人的重视程度。
I learned a couple of years ago that in the Deep South,There's this law called the Castle Law. Have you heard of it?
就是我知道就是在南部，南部呢有一个法律叫城堡法，不知道大家知道不知道。
According to that law, and I think this is actually in Texas.
就是有关于那条法律呢，我想好像是应该是在德州的法律。
If any person steps on your property, you have the right to shoot and kill them, no questions asked.
就是说，如果有人进入了你的，就是进入了你的领地，那你就可以不用问问题就开枪射击。
And it goes on the idea of my home is my castle, you dare not touch my property.
就是说它的背后的意思呢，就是说我的家就是我的城堡，你不可以进入我的城堡。
What is the reason for this principle? There are two reasons I will share with you.
那在这个背后呢，有两个原因，有两个原因我想跟大家分享。
The first reason andjustification is this. Crimes against property are punished less severely than crimes against persons in the Bible.
那首先就是这条诫命的背后的隐含的第一层含义呢，就是说对财产犯罪的处罚呢，要比对人身犯罪的处罚要相比要轻。
Here's a quotation from a Bible scholar, David Baker. It's a little long and there's no Chinese, but let me just read it to you.
那下面呢是有一个圣经学者叫贝克戴菲的一个人所写的，有点长。
Here's what he says: As we progress through the Ten Commandments, it is apparent that the penalties decrease in severity just as the seriousness of the crime decreases. For example, A, in cases of murder, that is deliberate homicide, capital punishment or the death penalty is non-negotiable. B, in cases of adultery, capital punishment is standard, but leniency and forgiveness are possible. Now C, in cases of theft, capital punishment is never used.
那就是说，我们通过对实践的这个发展的学习呢，很明显的就看到这个惩罚的严重性，随着这个犯罪的严重性的降低而降低。比如说，在谋杀、故意杀人的案件中，那审判是死刑，是没有谈论的余地的。那接下来在通奸的情况下呢，虽然也是死刑，但是也可以用比较宽大和宽恕来处理。那接下来在盗窃的案件中呢，从来就不可以使用死刑来处理的。
Okay, secondly, even relative to other ancient Near Eastern laws, the Eighth Commandment in the Bible is actually more lenient than we see in the laws of the other ancient Near Eastern nations.
而且相比于当时存在的其他律法呢，我们这个第八诫呢，相关于其他的律法也更为宽松。
Let's take a look, for example, at this is from the ancient Near Eastern law of the Code of Hammurabi, CH, Article Number 8.
那比如说这条律法就是汉谟拉比宝典法里的第八条。
Here's what their law teaches. If a citizen steals an ox or a sheep from a state or temple official, then the citizen is fined 30 times the value of the stolen livestock. Likewise, if one citizen steals an ox or a sheep from another, then the fine is 10 times the value of the stolen livestock. If a citizen fails to pay a fine for stealing the livestock, then the sentence is death.
那就是说，如果一个公民从国家或者官员或者他们的那个寺庙里面偷走了牛羊的话，那这个公民就会处以被判处赔30倍价值的罚款。如果一个公民呢从另一个公民那里偷了牛或羊，那么他的审判呢就是罚款是所偷盗价值的10倍。如果此公民因为这个偷窃牲畜而又不交纳罚款的话，则可以处于死刑。
So in the law of ancient Babylonia, if someone steals, let's say, a sheep from the temple or the state, they pay a fine 30 times. So if you steal one sheep from the temple or the state and they catch you, you have to pay back 30 sheep for the one you stole. Or if you stole from just another citizen, a neighbor, then you have to pay back 10 times the fine.
所以就可以看到与圣经律法同时代的其他信仰的就是法律就是他那个古巴比伦他的法律呢，可以看到就是说如果当时他们的公民从这个寺庙或者国家偷了东西的话，他们要赔30倍。如果从另一个公民那里偷了东西呢，他们需要赔10倍，那这都是非常高的罚款。那如果不交罚款的话，甚至是就要被判死刑。
Now we have a parallel law, a similar law in the Bible, and let's compare.
那作为这个圣经当中呢，也有记录当时犹太人他们类似的判决。
In Exodus 22 verse 1, it says this, whoever steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it must pay back 5 head of cattle for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep.
所以就是圣经中记载的呢是，如果有偷牛羊宰杀了或变卖的， 必须以五头牛，就是五头换一头牛，四头羊换一头羊。
So in the Bible, it's much more lenient. If you steal a sheep or an ox, you have to pay a fine 5 times or 4 times, and never the death penalty.
所以可以看到圣经中有关偷窃财物的这个审判呢，他们这个罚金比当时其他的律法要轻很多，而且从来不会判以死刑。
So even compared to other ancient Near Eastern law, the Bible is much more lenient, less serious when it comes to crimes against property.
所以当时古时的时候的律法呢，圣经相比其他律法对于财产偷窃所处于的惩罚要轻很多，从来都没有要判处死刑的。
Let me share with you another quote from the same Bible commentator to emphasize this.
那我想跟大家分享另一位圣经学者有关这一条的分享。
The Bible places a much higher value on human life than on material possessions, so property offenses are punished less severely than offenses against the life and dignity of other human beings, such as homicide and adultery.
就是圣经对人的生命的重视程度远远高于对物质财产的重视，因此对财产犯罪的处罚比对于其他人生命和尊严的犯罪处罚要轻得多，比如说相比杀人或者通奸。
So as Christians today, it's very important for us to remember this first principle that persons are more important than our property.
所以对于当今的基督徒呢，我们要记住特别的注意这个背后的第一项原则，就是说人比财产要重要。
Perhaps you've heard the story about a large, famous church in Texas.
也许大家也听说过这个故事，就是在德州的一个很大的教堂所发生的事情。
And I believe it was about five or eight years ago, there was a huge hurricane storm that devastated Texas. And many people were left without water and without homes.
那就大概是五年还是八年前，就是德州经历了很大的龙卷风，然后很多人都失去了家园，没有地方去能够来找地方住。
And this large church was criticized for not opening its doors to allow these homeless people to stay temporarily.
然后有一个很大的教堂呢就被批评，因为他们不愿意开门去接纳那些无家可归的人。
And the reason was because they didn't want their church to be messed up and dirty by homeless people coming in.
因为他们不想让这些无家可归的人进到他们的教堂里面，把教堂弄脏弄乱。
So people were kind of criticizing this church for caring more about its property than about people around them in the neighborhood.
所以人们就批评这个教会，他们更注重自己的财产，而不是注重生活在他们周围的人们。
Let's move on and look at the second principle from this prohibition.
那我们现在继续看这条诫命背后的原则之二。
You may be surprised to learn that stealing comes in all shapes and sizes.
就是说你可能很就是你会很发现就是偷窃呢在形式和大小上都有很多各种的形式和大小。
That means as you explore a little bit more of the other laws in the Bible about stealing and theft, that can happen in many different ways in all shapes and sizes.
那就是说当你仔细去研读圣经中有关偷窃的记载的时候呢，你就会发现偷窃这个事情有各种不同的形式和大小程度。
In the Bible, stealing is not just taking something that belongs to someone else.
在圣经当中呢，偷窃并不仅仅局限于你把别人的东西拿来占为己有。
And that's why I added today's scriptures from the book of Leviticus.
那所以今天我就又加了这个利未记的几条经文。
Verse Leviticus 19:13, do not defraud or rob your neighbor, do not hold back wages of a hired worker overnight.
就是利未记十九章十三节这样说，不可欺压你的邻舍，也不可抢夺他的物，雇工人的工价不可在你那里过夜，留到早晨。
So stealing is not only taking something that belongs to someone else, but holding back something that belongs to someone else.
所以偷窃不仅仅是你把别人的东西占为己有，也包括本来该给人家的没有给，也是偷窃。
Here's the other scripture from today's scripture reading, 19:35.
那还有我们今天读的另一节，就是十九章的三十五节。
Do not use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or quantity. Use honest scales and honest weights.
就是你们施行审判，不可行不义，在尺秤深斗上也是如此。
Of course, as you know, in the ancient world, they used a scale to weigh, let's say, spice or wheat or grain before they sell it.
那我们知道，就是古时候呢，人会用秤，它这秤砣是标准的，来称各种的农作物。
So on one side of the scale, they would have a weight. Let's say maybe it's supposed to be 16-ounce weight here.And then they would put 16-ounce weight of wheat or grain, or let's say rice.
就是像比如说一个天平，天平的左面是一个16盎司的一个秤砣，那右边你就应该放上16盎司的这个食物，就是货品。
So the merchant would kind of cheat a little bit. Instead of 16-ounce weight, they would use 15.5 ounce. So the customer is really only getting 15.5 ounce of rice.
那商家就是黑心商家呢？他如果比如说把左边的这个秤砣只放一个15.5 ounce 的，这样的话，他右边所卖出的货物就不够秤了。
So what this teaches us is that stealing comes in all shapes and sizes, many different forms.
所以这个就告诉我们呢，就是说偷窃这个东西，它是以不同的形式会以不同形式出现的。
And so we as believers and Christians have to be careful about our possessions and defrauding or robbing the possessions of workers or our neighbors or our customers.
所以我们也要小心，就是说，怎么样处理有自己的所有产物，或者怎么样与邻居同事在财产上不亏欠。
Let me share with you again another quotation from this commentator, David Baker.
那我想跟大家再分享有关这个 David Baker 的另一个说明。
I share it because he goes into more detail to illustrate a little bit more the principle behind this prohibition, "Thou shalt not steal."
因为呢，他更仔细地解释了这条诫命背后所带出的原则。
In today's world, too, this commandment is not only for burglars and pickpockets. If it were, most of us could claim we have kept it without fail.Rather, it prohibits all kinds of improper gain, whether by marketing inferior quality goods, charging excessive prices, being involved in financial corruption, filing dishonest tax returns, profiting from others' ignorance, giving and receiving bribes, pilfering at work, traveling on trains without a ticket, ignoring copyright laws, or buying and selling unfairly traded goods.
而在当今世界，这条诫命不仅仅适用于偷窃和扒手之类的。如果是的话，我们大多数人都可以自称说一直在遵守它。然而，这一条诫命背后的意思是，它要禁止通过销售劣质的商品或者收取过高的价格，卷入金融腐败，提交不诚实的纳税申报表，从就是他人的利用他人的无知而获利，或者收取贿赂，以及工作中偷窃别人的成果，或者在旅行中逃票， 无视版权法，或者从事买卖不公平的交易。
So once again, when it comes to wealth and possessions, it's important for us as believers to be careful and to be faithful to the principle behind this commandment.
所以作为信徒呢，我们在处理财产问题的时候呢，我们要对这个背后的原则更加的小心，也更加的谨慎。
One thing I'm proud of is that Christians have been a good example when it comes to copyright. At least I have one example, good example of Christians obeying copyright law.
所以那个我比较开心的是说，作为基督徒呢，我们在有些方面也做了很好的榜样。比如说基督教呢，他们在这个版权的许可使用上就做了好榜样。
As you know, churches sing worship songs, worship hymns, and about, I think 15 years ago, a company came up to kind of be more faithful to honoring copyright laws.
就是因为就是各大教会呢都会唱各种的崇拜诗啊什么的，然后所以在大概15年前就他们就想到了以后呢，就成立了一个基督教的国际版权许可组织。
So this company came up where churches and fellowships can pay a small fee and use, you know, a variety of worship songs and hymns without having to worry about stealing copyrighted material in their church services.
这样的话各个教会呢只要付很少的年费呢，这样他们就不用担心他们不小心来违反了就是有些诗歌的版权。
So I noticed a lot of churches on the bottom of the screen under the lyrics, they put CCLI license.
所以很多教会在他们的这个单张上面都会印 CCLI 这个来表示他们加入了这个组织。
So a company came up called the Christian Copyright Licensing International.
所以这个公司就是基督教国际版权许可公司。
I think it's a good example of you know, a Christian perspective. Christians trying to honor copyright law.
所以我想这是一个就是基督徒试着来尊敬版权法的一个作为。
Because property comes in all shapes and sizes, and we call this intellectual property.
因为这个财产呢可以有各种的形式，我们称就是有关这个诗歌的呢，我们就把它归入知识版权的行列。
Do you realize in this modern world, intellectual property is actually more valuable than physical property?
你有没有注意到，就是在我们现代呢，知识版权的价值甚至超过了很多物质的财产的价值。
As a scholar and a writer, I am I'm particularly picky about you know, copyright and intellectual property. I don't want other people stealing my ideas and then making money off of my ideas.
作为一个作者和学者呢？那我愿意就是我所写出的东西不被别人盗用，希望能够有版权的保护。
So secondly, remember, stealing comes in all shapes and sizes, and we as believers must be careful about that.
所以这条诫命的背后第二点就是说，偷窃可以有不同的形式和大小，所以我们在这一方面也要多加考虑，要比较小心。
Now let's take a look at the third principle behind the prohibition.
那现在呢，我们学习这条诫命背后的第三条原则。
We must think in terms of giving, not keeping.
我们应该考虑给予，而不是守候。
Now there are some ideas in the Old Testament, but we don't get the full picture of this principle until we move to the New Testament.
那我们先就是在旧约中呢，有关这个阐述，我们看完了以后才会再去看新约。
So this principle doesn't really come directly out of the Eighth Commandment, but by looking at the Eighth Commandment, the Old Testament, and then the New Testament.
因为 这个观点呢，并不直指就是直接就从第八诫中跳出来，而是在圣经旧约的其他的地方已经有记录，然后到了第八诫之后，又到了新约中，依然有就是类似这样的原则的记录。
In one of the books I read, there was a pastor or scholar who said, you know, in life there are three kinds of people.
我读过一本书，这个书中的作者呢说，这个有人呢可以分为三种。
He said there are takers, there are keepers, and there are givers.
那这有索取的人，有守护的人和给予的人。
I think one of the signs of Christian growth and maturity and bearing fruit is when we as believers shift from being keepers to being givers.
我认为作为基督徒成长成熟的一个表象呢，就是从这个守护者变成了给予者。
It reflects our values that we have different and greater values in the world.
就是能够表现出我们在这世界中有更高的、更伟大的价值观。
Let me share with you some of the scriptures that support this idea that we must think of in terms of giving as opposed to keeping.
我想跟大家分享一些经文呢，来看到我们怎么样是从为一个守护者变成给予者来成长。
The Bible teaches us in the Old Testament that we are stewards of our possessions, not owners.
就是说，圣经告诉我们，我们在这世上对财物呢是管家，而不是所有者。
Leviticus 25 verse 23, God says, "The land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine." And you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers.
就利未记二十五章二三节这样说：地不可永卖，因为地是我的。你们在我面前是客旅，是寄居的。
I know in terms of property and wealth, Chinese people are very much into owning property and wealth. Property. Put it that way, property.
就是说那个华人呢，对于积攒。财务呢，很有这热情。
So we must kind of change our thinking. When you become a Christian, yes, you legally own the land, but we are caretakers. The land is really God's gift, or God really owns that land and that property.
所以，作为我们华人成为基督徒以后，我们要慢慢的改变我们的观念，就是虽然我们在法律上面，如果你拥有这片土地，然而其实我们只是在帮助神来管理。
Here's another Old Testament scripture to support this idea. It's a little bit long. I have to put it on two slides to separate it.
然后还有更多其他的经文也支持这个观点。
So Deuteronomy, beginning with chapter 8, verse 10.God is telling his people, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day.
生命记的八章十到十一节这样说，你吃得饱足，就要称颂耶和华你的神，因为他将那美地赐给你了。你要谨慎，免得忘记耶和华你的神，不守他的诫命、典章、律例，就是我今日所吩咐你的。
We continue on the next slide, verse 17.
然后下，我们接着看，十七节。
So you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors, as it is today.
恐怕你心里说，这财物是我力量、我能力得来的。你要纪念耶和华你的神，因为得 获财的力量是他给你的，为要坚定你向，为要坚定他向你列祖启示所立的约，像今日一样。
So we in our own pride may think it's my intelligence or my hard working that gave me this wealth and property.
因为在我们自己的骄傲当中，我们可能看到是因为自己的聪明或者自己的努力，让我有了今天所有的东西。
But when you become a Christian, you have a new attitude, a new understanding that it is really God who has given me the intelligence and the ability to work hard to produce wealth.
当成为基督徒以后，你会改变想法，看到其实是神给了你这个聪明智慧以及可以工作这样的能力来积攒你所有的东西。
So we are more caretakers and stewards of our wealth rather than owning it.
所以我们只是我们财务的守护者或者管家，而不是我们财务的拥有者。
Now when we move to the New Testament, in the New Testament there is a shift towards investing in the kingdom of God.
而在新约中呢，这个观念又有了一个转变，就是要向神的国投资。
So instead of keeping, there's a shift towards giving.
所以就是从这个作为一个管家的概念，又要将要改变成要向永恒要做投资。
Matthew chapter 6 verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. You see, that's keeping, storing up treasures for yourself on earth, where moths and vermin destroy.And where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
所以就像在新约的马太福音中记载的，就是不要为自己积攒财宝在地上，因为地上有虫子咬，能锈坏，也有贼挖窟窿来偷，而是要积财宝在天上。因为在那里没有虫子咬，不能锈坏，也没有贼挖窟窿来偷。要因为你们的心在，你们的钱在哪里，你们的心也在哪里。
Matthew 6:24, No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
那马太福音六章二十四节中记说，一个人不能侍奉两个主，不是恶这个爱那个，就是重这个轻那个。你们不能又侍奉神，又侍奉马门，就是钱的意思。
And then 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God.Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share.
提摩太前书六章十七节说，你要祝福那些今世富足的人，不要自高，也不要依靠无定的钱财，只要依靠那厚赐百物给我们享受的神，又要。祝福他们行善，在好事上富足，甘心施舍，乐于供给人。
There is this, there is this, I wouldn't say it's a dramatic shift, but there is a shift in the New Testament from keeping to giving or investing in the kingdom of God.
所以我想在这从旧约到新约呢是有一个转变，虽然不是一个巨大的转变，但是你也能够看出来是从一个管家转入要积财宝在天这样的改变。
So, this is the third principle that we as believers should consider carefully.
所以作为信徒呢，这是我们需要比较小心注意的第三个原则。
I'm sure there are many in this congregation, Emmanuel Church, I sense that there are many in this congregation that are actually very generous with their possessions and their money, and God bless you for that.
我感觉就是以马内利教会的会众呢，在奉献上面都是慷慨的，我们感谢神，是神的眷顾。
But I know that in the Chinese culture, there's more of a culture of keeping and not so much giving in general.
但是我也知道，就是作为中国文化呢，好像对于就是积攒比给予的重视程度要高。
And I can only give myself as an example because growing up poorly in Brooklyn, I always keep things. I hate to throw things away. I'm a keeper.
所以我呢，因为出生比较贫寒，我在布鲁克林长大，所以从小的生活条件呢，让我有个习惯，就是喜欢不愿意扔东西，什么东西都要存下来。
I drive my wife crazy because I keep everything and don't throw it away. I still have my report card from like sixth grade.
所以我愿意收藏东西的这个癖好呢，让我太太非常的头疼。我现在甚至连小学六年级的这个成绩报告单我还留着。
So I have the problem of being a pack rat, you know, a pack rat, keep everything in the piles up in the house, and it drives my wife crazy.
所以我是那种就是在家里收藏各样东西癖好的人，就是很多东西都摞很高，这个就是不愿意扔东西。
Even financially, for me, it's hard to give away my money because when you grow up poor in Brooklyn, you know, every dollar counts.
而且对我来说，做金钱给予的事也是非常困难的，因为从小在贫困中长大的时候，你就会要去有节约每一分钱这样的习惯。
You know, about a year or two ago, my family is getting older, and I was talking to my older brother.
那大概一年多前，就是慢慢家里的人都年龄都比较大了。我跟我的哥哥大哥聊天。
And for some reason, I decided to talk to him, and I said, you know, you're getting older now. He's been retired for 5 to 10 years, and I'm saying, you know, what are you going to do with your money when you pass away?
我就跟我，因为我大哥他已经都退休十年了。然后我就问他说，那万一你哪天你去世了以后，你的所有的这些钱你要怎么处理呢？
The reason it came up is because he still does not have a will.
就是我谈论这件事情的原因呢，就是因为他到现在还没有就是写遗嘱。
I told him, you better get a will, I'll take you to the attorney, but then the pandemic hit.
然后我就跟他想，我要带你去看个律师，去见一个律师来把这个遗嘱写好。结果还没弄呢，就这个疫情就来了。
I said, God forbid, if you die from COVID, all your estate is going to go to the government.
我告诉他说，如果你不把这个遗嘱写好的话，那万一你在疫情中去世的话，这个你所有的财产就归政府所有了。
But then I said, what are you really going to do with your money?
那然后我就问他说，你到底想怎么样处理你的财产呢？
I told him, your children don't need your money.
我告诉他说，你的孩子也不需要你的钱。
He has a daughter who is a vice president for like a Fortune 100 company. Does she really need your money?
因为他的女儿是那个Fortune 100公司里的这个 VP， 很有钱，他也不需要他父亲的钱。
Your other children have good jobs, already married with children.
然后他其他的孩子也有很好的工作，也有已经也有了他们自己的孩子。
I told him you should really consider giving to charity.
我告诉他，你确实应该想着把你的财产呢，去捐给福利机构。
What are you going to do with your money? Your children don't really need your money.
因为你那些孩子根本不需要你的钱，你到底该如何处理你的财务呢？
I was telling them you should start investing in the kingdom of God.
我告诉他，你应该现在开始积财宝在天。
Don't be a keeper. I know it's difficult, but we should learn by God's grace to be more of a giver.
所以真的是求神怜悯我们，让我们不要只作为一个守财奴，而是要学会以神的眼光来看，来为将来投资。
Let's wrap up by reviewing these three principles from a prohibition.
我们来再一次复习这条诫命背后的三个原则，来结束今天的信息。
First, persons are more important than property.
第一项原则就是人比财产更重要。
Stealing comes in all shapes and sizes.
原则二，偷窃有各种的形式和大小。
We must think in terms of giving, not keeping.
原则三，我们必须考虑给予，而不是守财。
Let's close in prayer.
让我们来祷告结束。
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the 10 words, the 10 commandments.
亲爱的天父，我们为你所赐给我们的十诫来感谢你。
Although they are oftentimes difficult to understand and interpret, we thank you that Jesus came and taught us a greater commandment in the New Testament.
虽然我们常常可能有困难来理解你所赐给我们的这十诫，然而感谢主，你赐耶稣基督给我们，让我们知道我们人生最大的诫命。
We pray that you continue to teach us and through your Holy Spirit motivate us to be more careful with our wealth and our possessions.
我们恳求神，愿圣灵帮助我们能够在考虑我们财产的时候能够更加的小心，也更加的合你的心意。
Not that we should be careless with our possessions, but we should think in terms of the kingdom of God.
让我们不是盲目的来处理自己的财产，而是在想到天国能够积财宝在天。
We want to be careful with our possessions, not to please ourselves, but to please you.
愿我们能够小心处理我们的财产，不是来迎合我们自己的喜好，而是要讨你的喜悦。
And we trust that you will bless us in return as we give more of our lives over to your values and to your kingdom.
我们相信，当我们能够更加的来以你的以你的心意为我们的价值观的时候，我们会更讨你的喜悦。
We pray these things in Jesus' name.
我们奉耶稣基督的名求。
Amen.
Amen.